We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good evening, everyone, and cheers. It's a beer show. It was a bit of a frustrating Tuesday slate, but welcome to the RotoWire hashtag After Dark Champions League show. I'm Jack Burkhart. You can find me on Twitter at Jack Burkhart. I am joined by Ryan Belongi. It was an awful Tuesday slate for the both of us, I think. Speaking for myself, it was certainly quite awful. And Ryan, I'm just tilting. It was tough scenes all around. I knew it was going to be bad when Mbappe scored a goal in like the first 10 minutes, and it kept getting bad.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. That Mbappe, you brought up Mbappe. I know me and you specifically, my brother too, we were all saying the same thing. We jammed Mbappe on every single Champions League slate this year, and I don't think he's ever been optimal. You know, I don't know, maybe once, but like I might be exaggerating. And then today in the spot where nobody plays him, you know, of course he goes off for two goals. It's just standard stuff. I was looking back and I've lost seven straight Champions League slates, and that inspired my Ponzi scheme comment. And they haven't been just small losses. Most are big. We're taking massive casualties every Champions League slate. I'm talking like losing 90% a lot of times. So yeah, you know, it's tough to take. And my wife's been sick and in bed all morning. My kid didn't nap, so I've been with him for endless hours all day during the Champions League games, even up until about 10 minutes ago. So I haven't looked at this slate at all. Not that it really matters, because I see City are like minus 1,000 favorites or whatever. But yeah, I don't know, Jack, how did your day go today in Champions League?
Well, it was pretty awful. There's some people in the chat though. We have Bear in the chat. We have Ozzy. Ozzy's always around. Chris, what's up? Glad that you can join our miserable company. It was a brutal day. It's like two straight minus 80% days for me, and in some of it, I only have myself to blame. But I don't know how much I would change for my approach to this slate based on what happened today. So, if you're looking, I have our cash lineups up on the screen. So. Ryan, you faded Harry Kane, so thoughts and prayers to you. You're basically out of the conversation immediately when the two big expansions.
Man, the Kane forward. Donks ran so good again too. I mean, it's just unbelievable. His first goal was lucky, like off a scuffed Guerrero shot that sort of just falls right to him, and it should be saved, but Provedel saves it into the net. The second one is just a tap in off of a Sané shot that nobody misses. Like, you know, Kane's just the highest owned player on the slate. He like barely touches the ball except for his two goals. Musiala's another one. I jammed Musiala every single Bayern slate. I don't think he ever was optimal. I mean, he did fine today with 12, but it just feels unjust because in my opinion, even watching the games, he was the best play every Bayern slate. It's just the goals don't go in when it matters, and they bounce to Kane for his tap-ins. I mean, it's over and over every slate. Like, I didn't even play Nuno Mendes today. Said Nuno Mendes was gonna be a bad play, especially as chalk. Knew he was gonna get subbed early. Of course he does. He scores zero. None of that matters. I played De Ligt. I played Dyer. I got keepers right. I mentioned to you last time, I think I've got keeper right on like four straight slates, which is like the most frustrating and hardest thing. And it hasn't even mattered because I've been so bad and so far behind that Imagine just nailing keeper over and over and over and still losing. It almost makes it worse. Like, wow, you're so bad you can't even win when you hit goalkeeper every slate.
Yeah. I can't relate to ever nailing keeper four times in a row. So I'll have to refrain from commenting there. Yeah, it was awful. I faded Nuno Mendes in all my other tournament lineups, and then I thought, well, I'll just play him in cash. Everyone's going to play him. And I'm an idiot. It happened exactly as we said. So it's like, shout out to me for not listening to myself and playing bad as a result. I had $100 extra. If I replayed the slate, I would certainly play my boy Eric Dyer instead. Like, it's just it was clearly the correct thing to do based on clean sheet equity, game environment. Like, there's no reason to take a risk on Nuno Mendes. We all had derangement syndrome playing 60% of him. If you faded, that was a good play. But I mean, I'm looking at other lineups and some people got a Mueller goal. And I understand how some people were able to like pay up and get a little bit more juice to have Guerrero, who did really well. He was a worthwhile play, it seemed. Some people were able to get up at keeper by spending down a little bit. But I don't know. I still think I'd play the same template lineup, Ryan. This lineup was the same as Redcoat85, who's basically the god of soccer DFS. So I'll just point to that and say, sometimes you just run bad. But yeah, I think the Nuno Mendes play was pretty awful. I don't know. In my most important lineup, I should probably, you know, use my most high leverage takes. And
who did you play in flex?
I played your boy Goretzka.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Nice. Yeah. I looked at that lineup.
Yeah, I think it seemed fine, but I don't know. What are you gonna do? It's brutal out here. We're looking at everyone else. We have Mueller was lucky to get a goal. He hasn't scored in months. But at the same time, Bear says that he does deserve a goal. You know, we'll just never know. But Ryan, this slate leaves a sour taste in my mouth. I think we owe it to the people to break down the upcoming slate tomorrow. And I think the question is, what are we going to do about this? And Bob's in the chat. He says, stack Real Madrid since Manchester City is ahead comfortably and may rotate. I think that's like the underlying thought that's going on when you think about these odds, and that's going to be one of the central questions. So we're seeing Manchester City, huge home favorites, 85% to win. I don't think I've ever seen clean sheet odds that are this close to like 60%. So the 57% clean sheet odds with our boy Neverson, who never keeps a clean sheet. And then just an extremely high implied goal total, making that whole game, the whole game environment, the whole goal total is basically Manchester City's goal total. So, you know, they're projected to win 3 or 4 to 0, basically. So that you might be thinking, well, Manchester City, super important game next week over on Sunday against Liverpool. Maybe they'll rotate some of their players, but I don't know, Ryan, I've seen Manchester City be super ruthless in the past, and I could see them putting, you know, Pep's crazy. He'll put his starters out there for 70 minutes. My initial impression, and I'll be curious to hear your thoughts, is I'll probably still play fearlessly Manchester City players. 70 minutes against this type of opposition is probably worth 90 minutes, you know, in a more balanced playing field. The other match that we have to look at is Real Madrid hosting RB Leipzig. Real Madrid have the lead. I don't think Leipzig are going to win this one, and you know, they are definitely big underdogs, but Leipzig really troubled the Real Madrid defense in the previous leg, and their players are cheap, Ryan, so this might be a good environment to target some goals if you're looking at the Leipzig side. I'm playing the bad teams again because, you know, I played Sociedad players today, but I want to go back to the well and, you know, go off the table and play some Leipzig players. Those are my first impressions. Ryan, what do you see when you're looking at the slate?
Man, I said Sociedad was bad too. You know, we just assume that they're going to be able to do it just because they're down 2 goals and they need to, but could have just been a donkey and clicked Mbappe, Kane, De Ligt, Dyer. You win all the money. Just, I mean, it doesn't have to be that hard, you know? Anyways, yeah, I don't, you know, Jack, I can't believe Pep would start De Bruyne tomorrow, but yeah, I guess he might. You know, he's just had injuries every season. He's fragile. He's just coming off. He just came back a few weeks ago. They don't need him at all in this spot. So, man, I hope him. De Bruyne doesn't start, but I see him in some of the projected lineups. Yeah, obviously you just have to click him. I mean, it's like a cake matchup for City, and they could. We just saw Arsenal score 5 goals in the first half against Sheffield. You could see that City could do that if they wanted to. I think I saw somebody wrote in Discord, Haaland subbed at half. I think that's a real possibility. We've seen that before. subbed at half, even if he doesn't have a goal contribution, just Pep doesn't care. Like, you don't need these guys out there if the game's in hand. So really, I want the City players who are going to play 90 minutes. Like, I see that projected line, but like, I don't know how like a guy like Doku doesn't start in the spot. I mean, you know, he hasn't been starting. This is clearly a spot where you can start him. Julian Alvarez, who hasn't been starting, figure has a shot at 90 minutes. Like, I worry about Foden. Like, yeah, what's going to happen if these guys start? Like, it's going to be a tough decision. I don't know, Jack. I'm tempted to fade Haaland in tournaments. I mean, at this point, I let off saying I've lost 7 straight Champions League slates. We got quite the record going right now. But like, if you play Haaland and he scores 2 goals, doesn't mean you win anything. It just means you've eliminated like 30% of the field or whatever. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Like I'm leaning towards fading Haaland in tournaments. Before I let you go, I'll just close with again. Take all of this advice from a guy who's lost 7 straight Champions League slates. So, you know, maybe I'm the mush, you know, like, do the opposite sometimes. I don't know, Jack.
I was tempted to say at the start of the show that we need to do the George Costanza, just whatever we think is right. We need to do the opposite. And then maybe it'll work out. But yeah, it's been tough sledding. But Ryan, I think you make some sharp points there nonetheless. Bad luck aside, I think it's criminal if Kevin De Bruyne plays significant minutes given his age and injury history and how crucial he's going to be down the stretch for Manchester City. They're still fighting in the Premier League, and this fixture should be in hand with Kevin De Bruyne on the bench. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Ryan, I was thinking while I was cooking dinner, I'm like, do I fade Haaland today? And I'm kind of glad you said it, because my first thought was, well, he's like -225 to score. He's only 9,200. And, you know, I just lost a lot the last 2 slates, so maybe I'll play it safe. But I think I'm glad that you just slapped that out of me. I mean, when Haaland scores the brace, you eliminate, you know, 40% of the field. And then, you know, the winner is going to be someone who played like Schlager, who randomly scores a goal or something like this. Just something like horrible showdown nonsense. So I think the fate is in play just for the systemic reasons, you know, perhaps an early sub. And, you know, the other City options are just enticing. I think you have an $8,700 price tag on Julian Alvarez. Phil Foden is expensive at $10,300, but he's a young guy. He could play, you know, 80 minutes or so. And he's just in absolutely incredible form right now. So if you want to play the other City attackers, and they are good plays in this spot, maybe you just have to ignore Haaland a little bit and embrace some of that risk and just hope it goes in your favor, because the payoffs are certainly correct when it does. And yeah, just because if you played Haaland and he scores a brace, you might not even cash in your important lineups, depending on what ownership is. So I think those are all very fair points right there.
Yeah. There's other good forwards too, you know, and there's other good forwards on City. There's good forwards on Real. So, like, even if Haaland scores a goal, you might be okay. Yeah, Bear, I played a bunch of Marino, too. I see you say Marino smashed. I said he was, like, didn't matter. I know he got that goal at the end.
Jack, I've had that same thought, you know, cooking dinner like so many times. I just lost a bunch on a few slates recently. Better play Haaland here. Playing it safe never seems to be the move. It's one of the things I've learned over the years.
I think we had this conversation about 1-0 showdown lineups. It's like when the 1-0 happens, you're like, oh, I should have done that. And then you realize that you're competing against like 400 people with the same idea as you and who, you know, end up playing like Ben Brereton in a random spot, when, or like Ryan Brewster, you know, something like that happened recently. And it's just something that you would have never thought of unless you threw your brain out the window. So I think that strategy has some merit. And like you said, the forward position is pretty stacked. It's kind of a good segue into the forward position. Of course, Haaland is going to have a lot of attention, and Foden is forward eligible, but Alvarez is pretty cheap, and depending on Kevin De Bruyne's minutes, he might take set pieces at the end of the game. He hasn't been starting lately, so maybe this is a good spot for him to play a full 90 minutes. That certainly seems reasonable to me. Other interesting forwards are on Real Madrid. I mean, they still have to put this tie away. Vinny Jr. is at 8,600, I think, and Rodrigo is at a similar price. Looking at the midfield, maybe we can go back to this. Jude Bellingham, he's going to be suspended in the next La Liga game, so he should be good for 90 minutes, even if they're controlled a tie. So that's someone you can spend money on who might be an alternative to playing Haaland. All three of those guys have huge ceilings that can match Haaland. And then there's cheap goals that you can chase after as well. I think Ben Sesko is around 5,700. Lois Openda, who takes a couple direct free kicks, I think he's taken most of RB Leipzig's penalties. He's at 6,300. And this is a must-win matchup. I don't mind taking rips. I mean, it totally backfired on Real Sociedad, but I don't know. I think RB Leipzig are a slightly better team, and I'm just willing to go back at the well again to target one of these cheap goals to, you know, play the rest of the City pieces that I wanted to. I think that might be a pretty popular strategy overall, Ryan.
Yeah, probably should be, right? You don't really want to play Copenhagen players. At least I don't. Leipzig, I think, are much better than Sociedad, at least better at scoring goals. Should have scored at least one in the first leg. I think they can score here. And then, yeah, on the Madrid side, that would make a game of it if Leipzig can score. And you might get, probably going to get Vinny out there for 90 minutes. He probably goes a little bit under-owned just because City's in such a good spot. I still think it's a pretty good spot for Vinny. So, yeah, I really like him. I think for tournaments, I like Rodrigo a lot.
7,600. All the way down to 76. Not priced close to Vinny Jr. So I got $1,300 cheaper.
I was hoping that they would be priced closer because then pretty much no one would play Rodrigo on this slate. But maybe because of the price difference, he'll pick up a little bit of ownership. But Doku would be way more popular if he started for 7,400. Yeah, I don't know. I like the Madrid guys in this spot. You don't want to be so quick to just think City's always going to smash here. Like, Haaland has failed in some of the surest spots. They could score two goals here. And like we said, there could be halftime subs. Again, it's tough to talk about City. Like, you could see any lineup. You could see Oscar Bob starting tomorrow. Foden would be the one. Like, what do you do with Foden if he starts? Because it's tough. I would assume it's tough to, maybe it's not to play him, Haaland, and KDB. But I mean, like you said, Foden, I mean, he's in the form of his life, right? Like, not even arguably anymore, just one of the best players in the world, would start on any team in the world. I mean, he's just been that good. So it's a tough fade if Foden starts, but he's quite a bit more expensive than Haaland.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to play all three of Haaland and then Foden and then Kevin De Bruyne. I'm not sure there's enough money to be spent. You might have to fade David Raum at defense. Maybe that's something you're willing to do at 6K on the road at Real Madrid, but with a weak defender position, that might not be on the table. There are some punts though, so that's a build that I think you can consider. I don't know, Ryan. I noticed that Foden took some set pieces over the weekend, but was that a function of City just going full throttle after conceding an early Rashford goal, or did that seem just like a tactical decision to not have Kevin De Bruyne take every single corner?
Yeah, I wish I knew. You know, I thought, based on recent games, it seemed like Bernardo was taking the left-footed sets, at least when someone other than KDB took them. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I would expect KDB to take most, you know, most corners and most free kicks going forward. What were the numbers? Pretty even the last two. Did Foden or did De Bruyne start in that game against Bournemouth, I wonder? Like, are they really splitting now?
Let me take a look. No, against Bournemouth, he only played 6 minutes. So I guess without knowing more information, there was a split with Foden and KDB. It could have just been because it was a pace-up matchup. But I think
I know.
It should be.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do think it's notable that Foden took over Bernardo because it had been the opposite for the last few months. Like when they were both on the pitch, Bernardo was taking the left-footed ones. But yeah, I see. Yeah. Foden with set pieces. I don't know. You wouldn't want to fade that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's a better player than Haaland. I think Foden's more likely to play longer. I don't know. I talk to RotoWire user Shoot Premikai all the time. We're like, why do we get so soaked up into the minutes? Because sometimes you can get a little bit, you know, not noticing Definitely. The forest from the trees if you think about minutes. But I think the Haaland early sub is just much more likely. So maybe you want to find the extra salary to play Phil Foden instead of Haaland. I don't know. Then you look at the cheat sheets and then you just check. Well, shit, Haaland is, you know, 70% to score. So that's also a really tough fade. Saying, yeah, I'm not going to play the guy who's 9,200, who's minus 225, even in cash games. Like, that is usually not the heuristic that I start with, especially when other players are affordable.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think I agree with you, Ryan. I mean, how you cope with the forward position, I think that's going to, you know, it's going to depend on how the lineups roll out. And if you're going to want to spend up three times, I think that's pretty tough because you might not be able to play certain midfielders as a result. So if Kevin De Bruyne starts, you know, he's someone that you want to play at 10,300. If he doesn't start, that's going to open up salary quite a lot more. I think one of the popular options at midfield, Ryan, will be Toni Kroos, whose price somehow went down from last time. He's like 6,300 in this spot, and we are currently projecting him to start without Luka Modric, which means that Kroos should be taking most of Real Madrid's set pieces. I don't know. It just seems too cheap. What do you think?
Yeah, it seems too cheap, but I'm still just, for some reason, I'm just not jumping to play him in this spot. I don't know. I still worry about the minutes. I mean, you know, over the weekend he started, played 63 minutes and scored 4 points. A few games back against Girona at home, he started, played 70 minutes and scored 4 points. And the fact that Madrid are up 1-0, I don't love that either. For Kroos specifically. If Leipzig score early, then that would change things, but with Modric on the bench and probably going to come on. Yeah, I mean, he's cheap. I think it's fine for cash games, but I don't think I'm going to be looking there for tournaments. At least not on like my single entry stuff, but I think he's a good play he's a better play in tournaments if you have a Leipzig forward, because you want Leipzig to score a first half goal and then maybe Madrid have to do a little bit more, and then maybe Kroos stays out there and take some corners. But I don't know that Kroos gets there if Leipzig, you know, in a clean sheet, if Madrid have the clean sheet. I don't know if Kroos gets there. He might, but I don't know. I don't know, Jack.
I think it's important to formulate an opinion on this, because if you don't think Kroos is as good a play, well, then the midfield position sort of drops off. So I think Xavi Simmons is very nearby price, and he would be more of a, you know, contrarian tournament option if you wanted to play him. But otherwise, it's going to be a huge gap in the price range. I mean, Dani Olmo not taking set pieces, that's not super interesting for me. So if you remove Kroos from the pool and you're not playing a lineup that's speculating on RB Leipzig to score goals, then you're more in a position to play a barbell type of lineup. So if you want to play three City forwards, or if you want to be able to play two City forwards and a Real Madrid player, or some combination of the three expensive players, that fade unlocks that that type of lineup construction. So depending on your decision there, that opens it up. And I guess as a result, it also becomes an issue for cash games, right? Because if you play Toni Kroos, if you insist on Toni Kroos and KDB starts, you might have to play like Lois Openda at a forward spot. And maybe that's not going to be the right trade-off that you want. So all things worth considering. Ryan, in tournaments, let's say Kevin De Bruyne starts. I think everyone's just going to click him out of reflex. Are we going to somehow get under-owned Jude Bellingham, who's probably going to play 90 minutes because he's suspended next weekend at 8,700? That would be a move that I would be willing to make in, like, say, like the $44 scissor kick, 100-person field. Just, you know, hope for a halftime sub for De Bruyne after City scored two early goals, and just trust in the best player in the world, as we've been saying on these Champions League shows. How would you plan on dealing with Jude Bellingham on this slate?
Yeah, no, yeah, I think you're right, especially if KDB starts. And I mean, you reminded me of today, Jack. You know, I actually played Mbappe today in the scissor kick. Right? What were we saying? They're just best player in the world, right? Nobody's going to play him. I did play Mbappe in the scissor kick today. Didn't matter. I had Neuer. I had DeLitt. I had, you know, I don't know. Doesn't matter, though, Jack. Still didn't cash. But
scores one more point than Harry Kane, who's probably like 2X.
Yeah, it's not even a good play, you know? Kane was cheaper. So anyway, yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't think... Yeah, I think Bellingham goes under-owned on this slate, and he's a really good play, similar to Vinny. Like, I think Vinny will be higher-owned. Like, you can play Vinny in a midfield spot, too, which is what I was going to say. I can see myself playing Vinny in a midfield spot, especially if KDB doesn't start. But even if KDB starts, because you can play cheap Leipzig forwards. Like, I'd probably, like, play Sesko over Cruz or something in tournaments. Look at Xavi Simon's game log, though. It's pretty good. Does he ever score less than double digits? I mean, I see
Are we sure
one
that's not
time
the FanDuel scoring. Oh my god, that is DraftKings. Holy!
I see one time in like the last 20 games that he scored under double digits, which it's a fair sample, right?
That is a fair sample. Some of that against, you know, quality opposition like Bayern Munich. And, you know, he put up 12 points, albeit at home against Real Madrid. Seems like an interesting idea if you like your Cruz lineups, but Ryan dissuaded you. Maybe you can just do a little bit of a tweak.
Look at those minutes, too. Like, you're probably going to get more minutes than Cruz. You're going to get more goal upside than Cruz.
Yeah, with Xavi Simons, you have 88 minutes, 87 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes. It looks like Simons is a guy who's going to be playing at least 80 minutes in this spot, and that feels pretty good for a script where RB Leipzig have to chase.
He feels like just maybe a little bit better play than I thought he might be at first glance.
Yeah. It would be nice if
cash, I guess fine for cash, but like I'm more talking about tournaments. But I don't know, a game log like that, I wouldn't like call anybody crazy if you wanted him over Cruz. You factor in the motivation as well.
No, I don't think so. He pitches in on some free kicks and corner kicks as well. Right, it would be helpful. So the grammar police have been after us lately, the pronunciation police. So if someone could settle if it's Xavi Simons or Xavi Simons, so we can let Ryan and I settle this pronunciation beef. I'm sure you're all very eager to let us know precisely how it's pronounced.
Yeah, that's one I don't know, and it's one that I've wondered. I feel like I've heard it both ways.
Yeah, I don't think we should listen to the British announcers on that, that's for sure. So I'm sure someone will come into the comments just like that. Any of these other midfielders of interest to you, Ryan? The cheap option, let's just say it doesn't really spark joy. I mean, I'm always sick enough to play Mohamed Elyounoussi at below 4K, you know, harken back to his Southampton days, but that's more of like an enabler play. I think a play that people will look to is the new signing for Copenhagen. You have Magnus Matson. He scored a beautiful goal in the first leg, and he took two corners, though I don't really imagine Copenhagen getting too much possession against Manchester City. Maybe that's a play where you just pay 3,200. He enables your lineup. And if City makes some substitutions, maybe they're, you know, a bit unsteady on defense and Copenhagen maybe get slightly more possession. I don't know. Do you think it's good to punt that low and play some of these options and scrape the bottom of the barrel? Or do you think you're just going to have to do it?
I think you can play him. Just, you know, it seems like he's been taking most of the set pieces. You know, there's a chance he could, you know, he could be okay. 5 points might be enough. Might not get 5 points, but what is he, 3,200? Yeah, you know, in some, yeah, I think he's a fine play in any format. You know, it just all depends. You know, are your expensive guys going to score braces and that's the construction you need, or is a more balanced construction where everybody scores double digits going to be better? You know, that being said, he does have some goal and assist upside, but how much does anybody have in a matchup away to City when you're playing on Copenhagen? I'm not sure. But yeah, he has been taking the majority of sets. I see the last couple games, he took 7 corners in the 2 league games ago, and then they lost over the weekend against Midtjylland, and he took 2 corners in 75 minutes. Yeah, 3,200. It seems fine, Jack. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it seems fine if it just gets you the lineup that you want. I mean, who else is a good play at 3,200? I think maybe a City center back. So if you want to play Ruben Diaz or something like this, maybe that's a slightly better play. But you might run into three team requirements as well in your lineup, depending on what happens. So I think for all those reasons, it makes sense. I mean, just a guy who can get 6 points at that price tag. You know, ignore who the teams are if you're telling me that, you know, there's expensive players you want to play and there's a punt who scores 6 points. I think that always makes that sort of construction viable. But I mean, you also have to realize he could just get 1 point and Copenhagen could be completely suffocated. We are talking about a team that has a 0.6 implied goal total after all. Bear our hero, he's saying it's Simons for Xavi Simons or something. I'm probably going to screw that up anyway. So we're just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to embarrass myself any further. Any other punts look interesting? This Rooney, I'm not even going to say his last name. 3,000. I've seen some sources say that maybe he starts because I think one of the Copenhagen forwards is injured right now, Klaassen. So maybe someone really cheap like that starts in the forward. I guess it's okay if it makes everything work and you want to play a bunch of City guys. I don't know, Ryan, anyone else look interesting to you?
Yeah, I've heard about this guy. Hold on, let me see. Wow, he might even take sets over Madsen. That's interesting to bring up, Jack. Hold on. He's 18 years old. He took 4 set pieces. He came off the bench at halftime against Midtjylland over the weekend and took 4 corners. Madsen played 75 minutes in that game and took 2. I'm not sure when those corners came, but I kind of doubt all 4 came after Madsen went off. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he seems about the same as Madsen, right? They're both about 3K. I don't know. Maybe you want to check into it if someone thinks you can find out who's got priority between those two. I don't know if you'll be able to find that out, though, with Madsen being so new and Rooney not playing too much. I don't know. How many set pieces are they going to get in this spot?
2.
Either of them are fine, though. I don't know. They're 3K, right? But
yeah. They're 3K. Sure. Just a name to be on the lookout.
I don't think you're going to get there on set pieces in this spot.
Yeah, if you do get there, you're probably going to, you know, get the guy who scores 12 point. You know, 12. But
again,
point
maybe 5 points might be enough. You know, 2 corners, and maybe they get ahead on one of them, and yeah.
Yeah, I certainly don't mind looking into that region. So, yeah, it's a little bit gross, a little bit sparse for plays, but again, you have options like, you know, Rodrigo and Vinny Jr., who you can also play in a midfield spot. So maybe it's just one of those slates where we're just going to see people cycle a lot of expensive forward players in there.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I wanted to talk about Defender because there's a slight dilemma with Defender. I'm usually not super enthusiastic to play set piece taking fullbacks on teams on the road who are only 17% to win. But given the incentive of the game with RB Leipzig, I do think that David Raum, he's in play at 6,000 just because there's a big absence of good plays at the defender position. At the same time, now that I talk a little bit more about it, $2,500 and then just playing two of the starting Manchester City center backs who are back to being underpriced. You have John Stones at 3,300. You have Ruben Diaz at 3,500. I mean, Ake, if he starts, is 3,800. Akanji, 3,500. I think that will also have some merit. Raum needs to do some pretty big damage, and you kind of need a balanced construction to work quite well if you play him. So my first instinct was to play Raum no matter what. I'm having my doubts now, Ryan. Do you think that you can make better use of that 2,500 in more important spots in your lineup?
I think it depends what happens in the games, kind of. Like, I think if Leipzig haven't scored and it's in like the 75th minute, you're going to want Raum. You're going to have wanted Raum on your team. Yeah. But if they tie it up on aggregate sometime in the first half, then I think you're going to be pretty worried about Raum. And I think there's a chance that he finishes with less than 10 points, like a good chance. And yeah, you can get clean sheets from City center backs and catch up a little bit. So I think both strategies can work. I think in cash games, I would play Raum. I still like Raum overall, but there are paths to him failing. And if you get multiple City defenders that somehow score like 8 points with the clean sheet, then yeah, he might not be that great of a play.
And I don't think it's outrageous to see City defenders put up these stupid floors. I mean,
oh, they always do, right?
To do it, one of them seems to do it constantly. So I don't know. I don't think it's like naive to think that the City players can't deliver pretty good value, especially when they're so likely to receive a clean sheet. But yeah, I don't know. You're looking at a player who scored 15 points against Real Madrid in the reverse fixture, and then, 9-point floor, 6-point floor, and 12-point floor recently. I don't know. He has most of the set pieces, so he has everything there, but I'm just spooked by the 17% win odds. So I think you're just going to have to look at 2v2s with, you know, maybe you want to get up from someone in the lowest Appendo range. Maybe you want to pay up for a goalkeeper. Maybe you want to just be able to afford another expensive forward. So you're going to have to tinker around in cash games to see what you want to do with that. Yeah, I don't have anything else really eloquent to say about it. Ryan, do you like any of the other defenders? The 4,000 range seems a bit disgusting.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't like any of the defenders. I like the City defenders. And Raum, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, some of the names that are up there, it's like 4,900 Carvajal. No.
Yeah.
Guardiola somehow 4,700. I would love to see someone explain that to me. Diogo Gonçalves, 4,300. He's no longer taking set pieces. We're not interested. I mean, maybe he takes a penalty. So if you want to do that, I don't know how penalty duty is shaken up with Copenhagen lately. Henrik's maybe at 4,000. I guess I would think probably eager to play Raum, and then maybe the most expensive guy I would play is Henrik's. I'd rather play Nathan Ake, though. I don't know. It just seems like he might have a better floor than Henrik's in this spot.
Yeah. No, I agree with everything you said. Probably does. Could Rico Lewis start? Maybe. Yeah,
Bears comment.
Yeah, we don't know what lineup we're gonna get. Is this gonna be Is Gvardiol going to come back? I see him in projected lineups. He's been out for a while.
No one. Did he play against him. Manchester United? Did he like make an appearance? We can check.
No, this. But he was back on the bench.
So he's available. Maybe like
no one's going to click him at 4,700.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I just bring that up. No, it's not even worth talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like this. Whoever the cheapest City defenders are.
Yeah. But
yeah, you might see Rico Lewis in midfield. Maybe not, though. He hasn't really been playing much. I don't know. You know, our projected lineup has a strong City 11. I see that elsewhere, too. Pep's been known to do that. I don't know. City, though, they should have this in the bag, and they got Liverpool at the weekend, right?
Yep. I mean, we'll know more 75 minutes before, and you can hang out on Discord, rotowire.com/chat, and we'll be able to chop it up a little bit more then. But it's tough to project City, and we might see five different starters, and it's not because we're not projecting them well. It's just they have a big squad, and it's kind of uncertain with what Pep's approach is going to be, and he could take it in a lot of different directions. So I think that's a fair point.
Yep, I agree.
I agree with you overall, though. I mean, I think if you're going to spend up, it's probably Raum, and then I'm going to expect to see huge ownership. I mean, like, probably every City center back is going to be over 30% on this slate. So if one of them scores, that's going to be extremely frustrating, actually, because you're kind of doing this, like, sort of showdown element of roulettes. But I don't know. I'll let people do their own risk management. Ryan, I'm actually not too enthusiastic about John Stones at 3,300. I don't think he has much of a floor as a defensive midfielder. My one take is I would rather play Akanji and Ruben Diaz, but maybe that's too results-focused. It just doesn't seem like a DFS-friendly spot.
Yeah, and I'd be worried a little bit about Stone's minutes too, actually. Let me see. I think he's been playing a bunch recently. I think Pep thinks of him now as like a key player in City's best 11. They have other healthy defenders back, and yet he's an early sub candidate. It's happened before with Stones at halftime too. But yeah, I mean, at 3,300 though, like if he somehow went 90. You would want him, but yeah, I don't know. City have other guys they can play in that spot. Like we might see Nunez start even. Kovacic is back. Rico Lewis can come play there. Like, yeah, I'd be worried about Stones.
Yeah.
3,300, like you can't fault anyone for playing him, but yeah, I prefer Akanji or whoever or Ake, but if you have the money.
Yeah,
Gvardiol is actually the best City defender. That's what I wanted to say. Sorry, I can't help myself. And he's always the most expensive, and nobody ever plays him, but he actually should be. And if you look at his game log, if you're out there like me and have taken chances on Gvardiol when everybody else punts the City guys, but you want the guy who's actually the best play, like me, and when it hasn't happened for us yet, then my condolences to you, because that's how it's gone. But look at Gvardiol's game log. Guy's a stud. He takes a ton of shots. He's in the box all the time. He's a beast. But anyway, nobody's going to play him on this slate. I won't even play him on this slate either, because I'd just be worried about his minutes first time starting in like six games. But just in general, he's worth the extra money that he sometimes is over those other City guys.
When I've had the opportunity to watch Manchester City, I've seen him get extremely advanced up the flank. He seems like an extreme, like, I think he's only 21. He's an extremely athletic center back. So
he's such a beast. Yeah, he can just like play anywhere. And he's been unlucky not to have some big games, like with either a goal or an assist. It just hasn't happened, but it will.
And it seems like he's growing into Pep's system. I mean, it's incredible. I think Gvardiol, I think he only played center back. That's all I knew. And he was always like 2,700 when he was playing for, I believe it was Leipzig. But I mean, right. He switched to left back. He's shown a lot of skill on the ball. And like Pep says, oh, he's not good enough yet, but he's getting better. In 2 years, he's going to be an absolute. He's going to be
the same exact thing, Jack. Yep. He came and he was only ever a center back. And so, yeah, I was never clicking him. I thought he was like overpriced. Like, what is he doing over at left back? But he's just such an athletic freak and so good at like at everything else that, yeah, he's going to be great for City there.
Yeah, I think a good shout out for perhaps a showdown slates down the road, or, you know, these ugly two gamers where you have to find, well, like this one where you have to find a way to get different. Yeah, I don't know. It's a nice contrarian angle to have. That's all I got on the defender portion. I mean, maybe you can just like punt with one of these guys if you really need to, just play anyone with a pulse and fit the three team requirement. But I'm not really running into the three team requirement. The forwards and RB Leipzig are cheap and the Madrid players are good. So yeah, I think it's going to be Raum or some of these City center backs.
Yeah, that, I agree.
That brings us to goalkeeper. I mean, we have Ederson at 5,900. It's like this meme, you know, I'll do it again. And it just feels like a really good spot to take in 12 points from Ederson. But maybe Lunin has a higher ceiling. RB Leipzig have shown that they're capable of troubling that defense. I mean, Tchouaméni is still playing center back for Real Madrid, at least according to our projections. Lunin might have a bigger ceiling, just 300 cheaper, and that's at least one thing worth considering from a tournament angle.
Yeah, I mean, Lunin has a much bigger ceiling. I mean, we said it on the last Champions League slate, and he had 9 saves against Leipzig and dropped 28 points. The same exact thing is in play for this game, for sure. And Ederson, you really feel like his ceiling is 12. Like, 14 would be – you're not going to get 14 very often. But you might get 10 pretty often. Is that enough on this slate when you consider the salary? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I haven't really played around with lineups too much yet. But I don't know, Jack. I guess I don't. It's goalkeeper. I'm not like in love with Ederson here just because you really feel like his upside's capped. But yeah. I still, you know, there's a lot of scenarios where City are the only team that keeps a clean sheet. And if you pair Ederson with two of the center backs, or yeah, two defenders, whoever it is, I still think that's a pretty good construction. I'll probably do that on some of my lineups, depending. It worked, you know, decent. You play Neuer today with Dyer and De Ligt. Sort of a similar slate to that in just the defender position. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to make him a priority. Maybe you can
still play, you know, guys like Nathan Ake, guys, you know, the City center backs can get pretty far forward and, you know, randomly offer shots, you know, when they get good floors.
Without Ederson? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, without Ederson. I mean, why not just say, look, either the City center backs get clean sheets and they're probably going to be good plays, or they have capabilities of floors just for random reasons.
You're giving it all away. You're giving all the alpha away. I mean, yeah, I played Dyer today with Donnarumma instead of Nunes. I played De Ligt even with Donnarumma. I mean, yeah, for all the reasons you said, and just because there can be multiple clean sheets. City can get a clean sheet and so can another keeper. So yeah, that's a sharp move that not a lot of people are doing yet. Yeah, I like that move. Definitely. City defenders and you don't need the goalkeeper.
Yeah. And I think it can work out that there doesn't even have to be two clean sheets. It could just be Lunin making saves and getting the win and he can still outscore Ederson, in my opinion. So you could have the best of both worlds. I don't know. I guess those 10-point Ederson outcomes are living a bit rent-free. But we all know what's going to happen, Ryan. City are going to concede. We're going to need El Yunusi to win GPPs. We're not going to have El Yunusi. And Ederson is going to end up on 1 point after conceding one goal, no saves, and picking up a petulant yellow card. That's at least how it's been going every time I've played him this season. So good luck to those that
pretty
do.
Pretty much. Yeah, I played him over the weekend against United like a donkey, and that went very poorly.
Yeah, I still think he's going to get played just because the correlation is so easy on this slate. So
Yeah, I'll play some too. I don't know. You know, you never know. Like, you know, if City don't start KDB and Foden, what if KDB and Foden both don't start? Then maybe you just have the money somehow for Ederson and it's easy. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. If I had to spend down my last take, I'd rather play Guashi than Grabara, because I think there is a small chance that Leipzig can actually pull out a win, and I think he's only like 300 or 400 more. So I think getting up to those win odds is certainly worthwhile. But I don't know. It's goalkeeper. Good luck. And like Ryan said, we've been a little bit of a struggle bus over here lately with Champions League. So maybe what you should just do is write down every single thing that we say. They're like, okay, so they want to fade Haaland. I think I'll play Haaland. They haven't mentioned Bernardo Silva. He's going to score a bit. You know, if you just take all these notes very carefully, the fade us model, I think it's performing pretty well right now.
Jack, I played both of the Bayern center backs on all my Donnarumma teams today, and no Nuno Mendes, and it just doesn't even matter. There's just no justice in the world. I mean,
no justice in this game.
I don't know what to say at this point. I mean, it was a tough click too, and I'm thinking to myself, like, man, you're gonna feel so stupid, like clicking Dyer over Nuno Mendes, and it was like 80 minutes, you know. But I don't know. One of these days, we'll get it right.
One of these days, and it'll be the classic broken clock is right.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much what it is. I mean, at this point, like, anybody can win if you take enough tries at it. Just click buttons.
Maybe we should listen to this user who comment. Let's go, Ryan and Jack. Fire emoji. Let's get a win tomorrow. You are certainly more optimistic than us, but that does give me a little bit of hope. You know, we just have to keep on playing and eventually things will go our way. It's been 45 minutes. Thank you for listening to us. I can't believe I can't talk about this two-game slate. We'll be back over the weekend, hopefully, if DraftKings releases the prices before 5 p.m. We'll do our best with that to talk about Premier League. And then next week to talk about the next batch of round of 16 final legs. Thank you all for joining us. On behalf of myself and Ryan, good luck tomorrow. And yeah, we'll see you later.
Thanks, Jack. Good luck, everybody. Don't forget about Fede Valverde.